So today is, as we know, Shavuos HaMatzos, and the main thing we talk about on the 17th of Tammuz is the breaching or the breaking of the walls that would eventually lead towards the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, which we commemorate over the course of the next 3 weeks. So I think it's an appropriate time to talk about the walls of Yerushalayim. I think something that we often overlook, we go, Be'ezras Hashem, with the help of everything going smoothly to the Old City and to the Kosel, to daven there, to visit there, and we walk through the walls, and perhaps we don't pay so much attention to the walls itself. So what I'd like to do is, through the perspective of Chazal and Rishonim, to go on a little bit of a tour. We can't be there right now, but we'll go on a learning tour of the walls of Yerushalayim, and talk about the history of how they were built, the significance of the walls, and how they come out to nowadays, what part of which wall exists nowadays, and just need a little imagination if you've ever been to the Old City. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Sobu Tzion vehikufa safru migdaleha shisu libchem lechela pasku amanoseha. Walk around Tzion and circle her, count her towers, and take note of chela, says Rashi, her walls. Says David HaMelech, pay attention to the walls of Yerushalayim. There's something significant there, there's meaning there, there's inspiration there, if we would only pay attention to the walls and take lessons from the walls of Yerushalayim. The Seder HaDoros writes that the walls of Yerushalayim were first built by Shem ben Noach, the son of Noach, and he writes that 25 years after the Jews left Mitzrayim, the walls would be built again by a man named Yevus, who is a descendant of Avimelech. And that's the origins of the walls of Yerushalayim. At the time, Yevusi built the walls of Yerushalayim, they didn't have cement, and there was really nothing keeping the stones in place, and it was only simply stones stacked on top of one another, but nothing really to fortify it as a strong wall. And the Yevusi would place them one on top of another next to each other, just as they were cut from the mountains, from the quarry, and place rocks one on top of another. And this sometimes created walls that were 23 feet thick at some points, because they weren't really constructing the walls out of cement, but more out of stones they were able to find and conjure together. We know from Shoftim in Perek Aleph that after the death of Yehoshua, Yerushalayim is captured. V'yilchemu b'nei Yehuda b'Yerushalayim v'yilkadu osa. B'nei Yehuda capture and conquer Yerushalayim, eventually at that point burning it to the ground. David would eventually expand the city to include the 40 acres of Ir David, and after buying the Makom HaMikdash from Aravna HaYavusi, he would expand the walls to incorporate all of Yerushalayim, and thereby doubling Yerushalayim in size, the walls, overnight. During the period of the Bais Rishon until the Chorban, the walls would continue to expand northwest. If you're looking at a map, that means into the base where you would walk, like the buses come down to the Kosel, right? And northwest towards the Jewish quarter. And the walls were really more of a narrow bridge that was that part by the Kosel and the Beis HaMikdash. And the walls would continue to expand northwest into the Jewish quarter. Most of the expansion was done by Chizkiyahu HaMelech, as is recorded in Navi. Now Yeshayahu and Perek Samach Beis were told famously, Al Chomosayach Yerushalayim, Hifkadati Shomrim Kol Hayom V'Kol HaLayla. That over the walls of Yerushalayim there are Shomrim, there are guardians day and night. Who are these guardians that protect the walls of Yerushalayim? Says the Medrash in Shmos Rabbah, Amar of Nechemiah, Bo re'ei ahavaso shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Look at the love of Hashem for the Jewish people. Sheharei Malachi Hasharis, Shein Gibore Koach Osei Dvaro. The angels who are powerful and do the word of God, Asam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shomrim LiYisrael. They are the Shomrim, they are the guardians of Yisrael. Umihem Michal VeGavriel. Al Chomosayach Yerushalayim Hifkadati Shomrim. Kemen Sheba Sancheirav Michal Yatzev HaKabahem. Who are the Shomrim? Who are the guardians, the eternal Shomrim of the walls of Yerushalayim? It is the Malachi Hasharis themselves who protect the walls and watch over the Jewish people. Before Churban Bayis Rishon, we know that Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuzaradan placed the city under siege. How long the siege was is something we discussed in the past, some machlokas, whether it's 1.5 years to 3.5 years, but at some point there was a breach and the walls would be destroyed. Writes Eicha Rabba in Perek Dalet. V'shalach Nebuzaradan Rav Tabachim, the chief slaughterer of Nebuchadnezzar, went to the Machreves Yerushalayim. According to this version of the Medrash, It was a 3.5 year siege. B'chol yom makif es Yerushalayim. He would walk around Yerushalayim. V'lo haya yachol l'kavosh, and he couldn't conquer it. B'kevin shelo haya yachol l'kavosh b'kesh l'achzor. And Nebuzaradan was about to give up. There was no hope. The walls of Yerushalayim are too powerful. The Shomrim are protecting it. How can we breach the walls to defeat the Jewish people? Nasan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Belibo. Hashem gave him an idea. Hischil Memadeid Bechoma. Measure the walls of Jerusalem. V'haisa Shokas Bechoyom Tefechayim Mechetza. And every single day, the chief executioner would notice that the walls would sink 2.5 tefachim into the ground. Ad Sheshaka Kula, until the walls were gone, totally submerged. Became in Sheshaka Kula Nichnasu Hasanam Yerushalayim, and at that point our enemies were able to enter into Jerusalem to engage in barbaric atrocities. Ask from Jonas and Ibishitz, why was this necessary for the walls to sink? Why couldn't the walls be destroyed? So he writes in his Avos Yonas on the Haftorah for Parsha Shoftim. He says, Lefi Shedavid HaMelech Alav HaShalom Yiseid HaShaarim. Because David HaMelech was the one who made the foundations for the gates of Yerushalayim. For lo haya reshus l'shum oyev l'hicharev ma'isi de David. And no enemy was given permission to destroy the creations of David HaMelech. How do I know this? Li tein tam l'mash lo shlomo yad oyev l'shlo yad oyev v'ma'isi de David. Why could the enemies not touch David HaMelech? Because it says in the Gemara in Tainus that Shmuel HaNavi said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shakaltani kamoshe v'aron ma moshe aron lo bitlu ma'asei yedayen b'chayayim afani lo yisbatlu ma'asei de b'chayay. He says, I'm compared to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron, what they created, the Torah, was never batal, never went away. My creation, i.e. David HaMelech, will also stand for all time. The kach kavtza alav zikna v'meis. And therefore, that's why Shmuel HaNavi eventually died early, because Hashem did not want him to establish David and to establish him to build the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he says, but the gates he was able to establish. Nimsa kol zman shehatzadik chai ein ma'ase yadav misbatlim. As long as the tzaddik is alive, the creations of his hand will not be destroyed. And what do we know about David HaMelech? David Melech Israel chai v'kayam. The aura, the spirit, the koach of David HaMelech lives on forever. And therefore, Hashem could not destroy the walls of Yerushalayim. Rather, the walls of Yerushalayim, says Jonas and Ibishitz, had to sink into the ground to be brought back, perhaps at another point. A few decades later, after Churban Bayis Rishon, we see Nechemi returns to Yerushalayim, and he sees what the famous walls of Jerusalem look like. V'yomru li ha-nisharim, asher nisharu min ha-yeshivi sham b'medina, b'ra gedola v'cherfa, v'chomos Yerushalayim mefuretzes v'sharei nisusu v'esh. The refugees told Nechemiah, the walls of Yerushalayim are disgusting. They're abandoned. The gates have been breached by fire. It's a terrible situation. And it was a big chil Hashem. Even though they had the wherewithal and the ability to rebuild the second base of Migdash, they did not have the koach to refix the walls of Jerusalem. And therefore, says Nehemiah, we're going to start a campaign, not a charity campaign, no online donations. We're going to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim by hand. So what did he do? V'atzeh b'shar ha'gai layla, v'al p'nei ein ha'tanin. I went out by the valley gate to the spring where the jackals are, v'al shar ha'ashpos to the dung gate, v'hi shover b'chomos Yerushalayim asher ha'mefuratzim. And I went and I started actually picking away, demolishing myself the walls of Jerusalem. Why would Nehemiah, who wanted to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim, now go and start ruining the decrepit walls of Yerushalayim? So explains the Navi and explains the Rabag and Rashi as well, that he essentially wanted to make it so bad that there was no choice. They'd look so horrible that people would want to go invest. And he went and started to knock down some of the remaining walls and started to make trouble, so people would say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. The Beis HaMikdash has been built for 18 years. The walls of Yerushalayim look disgusting. We need to start a campaign. We need to build it. And Nehemiah was eventually successful in starting a movement to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. There'd be objections from the Shomronim about the Jews rebuilding the city, and they went to Sanballat, and Sanballat started making trouble. The walls would take a total of 52 days. That's all it took. Once you get your act together and you line up all the contractors and everything and get all your permits, it just takes 52 days. All the building was taken care of, and the rededication either took place on the 25th of Elul or Zayin Adar, according to the Mefarshim, but eventually the walls of Yerushalayim were rebuilt for one more time. at the end of the period of Bayis Sheni, and that time came to a close, they continued to build and to add on to the walls of Yerushalayim. And what we have today, as we'll talk about in a moment, is not nearly as small as it was back then. A new enemy now approaches the walls of Yerushalayim in the form of the Greeks. And the Greeks inflict damage as well. Later on, after the Greeks are defeated and the story of Hanukkah has passed us by, a very important incident will take place in the days of Chashmonaim, affecting the walls of Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara Menachos, Daf Samach Dalet Amid Beis. Tana Rabban and the rabbis taught, K'shatzaru Malchei Beis Chashmonai, when there was a civil war in the Hasmonean monarchy, Ze al Ze, V'haya Horkonos Mibachutz, and Aristobulus Mibifnim, and Hyrcanus, who was the leader of the Chashmonaim, was on the outside of the walls, and Aristobulus, who was another leader of the Chashmonaim, was on the inside of the walls of Jerusalem. B'chol yom v'yom hayim mishalshim lehem dinarim b'kupa umalim lehem tmidim. At that point, there was a terrible civil war, and Jews were fighting Jews. But they all agreed, we have to have the Korban Tumen every single day. But the Jews inside the wall didn't have the money to buy the lambs and the sheep for the Korban Tumen, and the Jews outside the wall had the money but didn't have the sheep to offer it. So they came up with a bit of a Cold War agreement, and that was, every single day, they would lower down a bucket, they would put money into the bucket to go buy the sheep, the people on the outside would take the sheep, plop it into the bucket, they would lift the sheep up, and they'd offer the Korban Tumid as necessary every single day in the morning and in the evening. At a certain point, Hayasham Zakin Echad, there was an elderly man, Sheyamakir Bechachmos Yivanis, who was familiar with Greek wisdom, meaning he wasn't such a frum guy. Laz Lahem Bechachmos Yivanis, and he hinted to them with his Greek wisdom, Amar Lahem, Kozman Sheasukin Ba'avoda, guys, you guys want to win the war, you want to take over Jerusalem and have your side of the Chashmonaim be correct? As long as they're offering the Korban Tamid, there's no way you guys are going to win. You got to stop this. Ein nimsrim biyadchem. Lamachar, what do they do? Shal shalhem dinar. They put the money into the basket, and the people on the outside, helu lahem chazir. They put a pig. Disgusting. They put the most antithetical idea, the most antithetical animal to the Beis HaMikdash in Judaism into the basket, and the people on the inside didn't realize what they were, just they were bringing up the sheep as usual, and they were actually lifting up a pig. Kaven shigia lechatzi achoma, when the pig got to the middle of the wall, nuts tziponav b'chona, he stuck his claws into the walls of Yerushalayim, v'nizdazeh Eretz Yisrael arba meos parsal arba meos parsal. And Eretz Yisrael shook from this act that they did. I mean, literally, not literally, figuratively, but it was a very bad thing they did, and it had terrible consequences. What were the consequences exactly? Writes the Maharsha, not here in Menachos, but at the very end of Masechah Sota, where there's a reference to this story. The Maharsha says, what's going on over here? Hyrcanus, Aristobulus, and Rashi says, this happened in the days of Titus. This led Titus in order to allow to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So Tosus and the Maharsha are a bit confused. Aristobulus and Hyrcanus are the days of the Greeks. Titus is a much later period. It's not the same time at all. The Greeks are hundreds of years before the story of the Romans. So what does Rashi mean when he says that the events of Aristobulus and Hyrcanus would affect what happened with Titus in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash? Chanukah is not the same thing as Tisha B'Av. It's not the same event. So says the Maharsha, he says, V'nira od bazeh, shezeh ha-maiseh b'dibnei beis chashmonai. You're right. This occurred in the days of the Chashmonaim. She'viu pulmus shel ramim shushalayim. But they're connected, because the fighting of the events of the Chashmonaim would cause the Romans to come, and they saw a civil war, and they wanted to squelch that civil war and bring peace. So the fighting of the Chashmonaim would eventually cause the Romans to come to Jerusalem. Hayaschalas, it was the beginning, vigram hachorban, and the beginning of the destruction. The Chashmonaim, listen to this point, the Chashmonaim thought they were fighting a machlokas l'shem shemaim. We should be in charge, we know best. And the other side said, no, we should be in charge, we know best. But all of that infighting, all that civil war, only got the attention of the Romans. And that civil war, says the Maharsha, brought the Romans to Eretz Yisrael, which eventually would begin the process of the Chorban. Haschalos v'gram ha-Chorban, she'avru ha-Romim b'habris, she'hayalehem Yisrael. There was a deal. The deal was, Jews stay in Eretz Yisrael, we keep quietly to ourselves and the Romans leave us alone as long as the Jews stay in their lane. But the Jews weren't staying in their lane because they were having a civil war. And therefore, and that's why, that's the remnants of the Chazir. What nation does the pig represent mostly? It's obviously Edom, it's Esav. Esav and the pig, HaChazir, HaRasha, it's the same thing. So the idea of the pig being brought up the walls of Yerushalayim, touching the walls, says the Maharsha, is a mashal representing the idea of the Romans are now invited to come to the walls of Yerushalayim, which eventually, hundreds of years later, would lead to its destruction. And that's, says the Maharsha, is that the machlokas and the infighting that was happening over the walls of Yerushalayim would eventually lead to the ultimate destruction of the walls of Yerushalayim themselves. In the days of Hyrcanus, the Syrians harassed the Jews and they come to Yerushalayim to fight. They would break down the northern wall of Yerushalayim. This was the time of the Machlokas that we just spoke about of Hyrcanus and Aristobulus over who should lead the Chashmonaim. In 69 BCE, before, we're talking, you know, 140 years before the destruction of the second base of Migdash, Pompey, whose city would eventually be destroyed, but the general Pompey would come to Yerushalayim and begin a siege of 3 months. This would damage even more of the wall. The wall is then rebuilt a few years later when Herod becomes king. This is the period of Agrippus where a third wall would be built as well. Some of that wall is actually still standing by Mandelbaum's gas station right outside the old city. Some of that wall is still there. You can visit. You can visit part of that wall, which is in the northern side of the old city. In the year 70 CE, Titus comes to conquer Yerushalayim. The Psikta Rabasi records that the outer wall he used a battering ram to break through, and he would command that all of the walls be broken and thrown away. He would knock down the second wall that was built. He lit a fire around it, and finally, as Titus would come to the third wall, there was a difficult battle. Eventually, Titus would win. Andronas Caesar then took a plow, knocked down the rest of the wall, and there is no more remnant to any of that wall at that point that remains from Yerushalayim. What does the Navi say about what happened then? Writes the Yaakov Amlo Eiz in Yirmiyahu. V'golu Yisrael me'artzam, v'hayuchomos Yerushalayim bochim. The walls of Jerusalem were crying over what had happened to them. He writes as well in Koheles, v'ish mefarshim ha'pasuk b'chorbana al Yerushalayim v'vinyana ba'ofen zeh. Eis lahashlech avanim. When the walls of Jerusalem were being thrown away, Shabaos Hashem Mamash Hayu Sosrim Chomos Yerushalayim, when the walls were being destroyed, Hayu Bashamayim Machnisin Avanim. In Shemayim, they were catching the stones to save them for its future rebuilding at a later point. After the Chorban, we don't really have any known walls from Bayis Rishon when the city was at Narrow. All walls of Bayis Rishon are gone. There is no remnant of that anymore. And we don't have walls of the Bayis Sheni from when the expansion occurred. We have only limited amounts left. The Seder Hadoros records that between that time and the walls we know right now, there was one episode regarding perhaps a future rebuilding of Yerushalayim. He writes that in 4140 or 379 CE, in the days of Ravina and Rav Ashi, the end of the Gemara, Caesar Vlantius, I don't know who this is, the Caesar Vlantius, Siva Livnos Chomus Yerushalayim, commanded to rebuild the walls of Yerushalayim. The Neder Litain Ezer, he pledged to give help, Vahotsa, and to assist them, Achlo Hivsik Beyado, but he wasn't able to do it, Kimeis Ben Nunhei, Shana Beyom Hakaza. He died on his 55 because of too much bloodletting. Shizav Mimenu Kol Damo Beshena. They let out all of his blood while he was sleeping, and he did not wake up. Like George Washington, just in Rome, different. Okay, so Yerushalayim is quiet. Nothing is happening with the walls until the 16th century. During the reign of the Ottoman Empire in the region, Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent decided to rebuild the walls fully, partly on the remains of the ancient walls of Yerushalayim, being built between 1535, 1538, and that's when the walls that exist today. When we go to Yerushalayim, we are not looking at the walls of David. We are not looking at the walls of Chizkiyahu. We are not looking at the walls of Hyrcanus, of Herod. We're looking at the walls of Sultan Suleiman from 1535 to 1538. The wall is about 4,000 meters long, average height of 12 meters, 2.5 meters thick. This is the wall that we have today. There are 24 watchtowers built by him as well that surround the city that we can see that are famous from the outside. And that is really the wall that we have today, not the wall that we associate with the Beis HaMikdash, not the wall we associate with David HaMelech, our heroes from Navi, but rather a wall that was built by a guy who saw value in Yerushalayim and protecting it, obviously for his own purposes, but these are the walls that we have today that surround Yerushalayim. So when we say, we have a rebuilt Yerushalayim and it's rebuilt again, why are we saying on Tisha B'Av about Nachem and a destroyed city? Those walls are not the walls, are not our walls. They're the walls of Goyim. We wait for the time when our walls, our proper walls we built around Yerushalayim, as David HaMelech asks of us to be so, we have to go and to see the walls built by the Jewish people to protect the Beis HaMikdash. Let's just talk about the gates surrounding Yerushalayim, where their names come from, what they're doing there, and how they work. There are 8 gates to Yerushalayim. 7 are accessible. 1 is sealed. Again, all these gates from the same construction we spoke about before. The first gate is Shar Yafo, also called Shar Chevron. Shar Yafo is the gate that you come up with. You're driving or coming from Mamila Mall. That's the famous gate at the beginning. Its name comes from the fact that those who traveled from Yafo to Yerushalayim or Chevron to Yerushalayim would encounter that gate first. It's the Shar that faces as you are coming, traveling from Yafo. What's with that weird second large opening in the side? So as the story is told, this is true. It was opened by the Turks because Kaiser Wilhelm wanted to come with his entire processional, his cars and everything. So they needed to make a bigger hole, and that's why there's the hole that the taxis come through Yerushalayim as opposed to the hole that people walk through on the other side. The Shar HaChadash is the newest gate in the Old City. The Shar Shechem, or the Damascus Gate, is probably the most elaborate and the most beautiful of the gates of Yerushalayim. It was built to the specifications of Sultan Suleiman, and it's the gate that faces Shechem and Damascus. So again, those gates that are named for cities get their name because they face the city that you would encounter when going in that direction. Then there's Shar HaPrachim, or Herod's Gate. Why is it called Shar HaPrachim? Because there is stonework of flowers around it. Then there's Shar HaArayos, the Lion's Gate, which is terribly misnamed because it's not lions. People think about lions in Yerushalayim and the connection between David HaMelech and Yehuda. It's not. They're not lions. They're actually cheetahs because the cheetah cat was the insignia of the Sultan Baybars of Egypt, who had that gate commissioned, and it looks like lions, but it's really another cat, and that was the insignia of his malchus, and that's why we call it the Lion's Gate, but really it's not lions, nor was it ever meant to be a lion at any point. Then there's Shar Rachma, or the Golden Gate. This is the gate that is sealed, and that's the gate that goes directly to Har HaBayis. Why is it sealed? Because the Arabs have a Masorah that the Mashiach is going to come through those gates, so they sealed it up so our Mashiach can come. Is that going to work? I hope not. And that was their plan. And the last is Shar HaTzion, or Shar Yehudim, Shar David. That's the gate that leads towards Har Tzion on that side. Just one piece of machshava. The Zohar writes in Parshas Mishpatim that in the future, Kadosh Baruch Hu will first build the Beis HaMikdash and then the walls of Yerushalayim. First Beis HaMikdash, then the walls of Jerusalem. The Yalkut Shimoni writes in Zechariah that the heavenly court, the basin Shamal, will make the walls of Yerushalayim, and the Malachim will be the Shomrim as they were in the past. The Gemara Bava Basra and Daf Ayin Hey brings a machlokas between Michal and Gavriel on one side and the sons of Rabbi Chiya. Imagine that. The sons of Rabbi Chiya and the Malachim have a machlokas. What's the machlokas about? One Shita says that the walls will be made of Avnei Shoham, and the other Shita says the walls will be made of Avnei Yashpa, 2 different gemstones. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu responded to the Malachim and the sons of Rabbi Chiya, no, you're both wrong. The walls will be made of both, Avnei Shoham and Avnei Yashpa. What is Pshat in this? What's the significance? What's the Medrash telling us? There's a machlokas over which stones the walls will be made of, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu says they're made of both. What's Pshat? So I once heard from Yonason Sachs, Rosh Yeshiva in Landers. So he said that the Choshen of the Kohen Gadol has 12 stones representing the different Shvatim, and the Shoam and the Yashpa are the stones that correspond to Yosef and Binyamin, the 2 brothers who cried on each other's necks because their Batei Mikdash would be destroyed. So the Machlokas here is over who is chelek, who is going to have dominion. Is it going to be Yosef or is it going to be Binyamin? Whose dominion? Who's going to have control? Are the Shvatim going to still be arguing, I have rights to Yerushalayim, I have rights to Yerushalayim? And Kadosh Baruch Hu responds to both of them, no, no, no. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt and the walls are rebuilt, there will be total achdus, there will be total unity, that no one will claim mine versus yours, yours versus mine. There will be total unity in Shalom as everybody comes together to participate and to lend a hand in the rebuilding of the walls and the unification of Yerushalayim. The Gemara there continues that in the future, the gates of Yerushalayim will be 30 by 30 amos. Those are very, very thick walls. And the Zohar says that the walls of Yerushalayim will reach up to the Kisei HaKavod. And what will be with the remaining skin of the Leviathan after the Sudas Mashiach is done? So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I will spread it on the walls of Yerushalayim, and its glory will radiate from one end of the world until the other. Ken Yiratzon, it should be speedily in our days to rebuild Yerushalayim and to see all these amazing miracles. We'll daven Maariv in a few minutes.